faith, anointing to break, to destroy yokes, anointing to bless you, Father. Let your anointing come upon you. Fresh anointing. Mighty anointing. Mighty anointing.
This morning. good. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. So I was seeking God about what I should speak on today. And I felt a deep conviction in my spirit that I should speak on the subject of worship. Now, worship is one of my favorite subjects, and I've spoken about worship here before. But there is an aspect of worship that God wants me just to share with us today, and it is the subject of true worship. Amen. True worship. And that is my title today. You see, worship is essential for us, and it is important to God. Worship is important to God. You see, we were created for worship. And I've got to tell you something. If you're not worshiping God, you're not doing what God has created you for. We have been created for worship. It is an expression of reverence and thanksgiving to God. And there must be somebody in here who has a thanks to God for what he has done. He's done great things.
Hallelujah.
He's done great things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, all over the world, the Spirit of God is moving. Mm. And all over the world, even now in heaven, they are worshiping God.
Amen.
When I look at Revelation, you see, I was inspired by this. You see, what's happening now? This is just a practice run for what is ahead. So if you don't like worship now, you better get used to it. Because in heaven, we're going to be doing it 24/7.
Yeah.
Huh? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see, Revelation chapter 4, it says this. I want to read it to you. Revelation chapter 4. It says that in the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The Bible talks about the cherubims and the seraphims. Yeah, they were around the throne. And the first of these living beings had the form of a lion. The second looked like an ox. And the third had a human face. And the fourth had the form of an eagle with wings spread out as though in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out, day after day and night after night. They kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and they worship the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and they said, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created." Worship is to give honor, is to give homage, is to give reverence, respect, adoration, praise, and glory to God. And he demands, I'm going to tell you, that God demands our worship. Because he, and he alone, is worthy to be worshipped. I don't know if there is anybody that believes that today.
Amen.
He is the only being that truly worship. And he requests that we acknowledge his greatness, his power, and his glory. And so as I was just thinking about this and what the Lord had said to me, I turned my Bible and I began to read John chapter 4, verses 19 to 26. Now, you all know this story very well. It's about the woman at the well. And so if you have your Bibles, it would be great if you could turn with me. John chapter 4, verses 19 to 26. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, this is what I love about the scriptures, you know, she didn't even recognize him. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Hallelujah. In the beginning of this chapter, Jesus said that I've got to go through Samaria. The reason he had to go through Samaria is because there was a woman there that he wanted to see. And the scriptures, you see, tells us in verse 23 that the Father is seeking out true worshippers. He is looking for them. And in this vastly populated world, true worshippers, I'm going to tell you, are very, very hard to find. I wonder to myself if even God has a problem finding them. Because the church is full of people. You will go right across London, across this world today, and people are worshiping. Full, the churches are full. But I'm going to tell you that not everybody in the church are worshippers. And this woman, the Bible doesn't tell us her name. We don't know how old she is. All we know is that she's a woman and she's from Samaria. And Jesus meets this woman at the well, and they began to have a conversation. They were talking about water. And Jesus is trying to lead her to repentance. You know what? Jesus is a master evangelist. He knows how to draw people in. And what Jesus did, he gives her a word of knowledge. And this is, you know, I don't know if anyone has ever been out on the streets and you operate in the word of knowledge. You know, the word of knowledge is usually the clincher. You know, it gets people wondering, what is going on? What is going on here? How did you know this? When you're able to tell what is happening in somebody's life, in the past or in the present, I've got to tell you, it's going to get people looking up. And Jesus spoke a word of knowledge into her life. Jesus said to her, he drops a bombshell. He said to her, go and get your husband. And she said, but sir, I don't have a husband. And he says, you have rightly spoken, you don't have a husband. You have had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband. And she said to him, how did you know that? You must be a prophet. I mean, you've come all this way, you've walked all this way. You don't even have a car to get over to Samaria, 65 miles away. And how did you know this? How did you know what is happening in my life? Because even the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. And because she assumes that he is a prophet, I guess before Jesus could reveal anything else about her, she diverts the attention from her personal life to the seemingly opposite, controversial subject of worship. Do you know that worship can be controversial? You're not sure? Where to have it? How to do it? When to have it? And she said, sir, you must be a prophet. Verse 19 and 20. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it to be here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? I think this woman was trying to pick a fight with Jesus. I think what she was trying to do was put an end to his witnessing, put an end to his words of knowledge. You know that some people will do that when they're convicted? You know, when you start to tell them the truth, they try to switch the subject, or they get angry because they're convicted. And as Jesus was revealing the truth to her, she could not take it anymore. And she switched from her personal life to worship. That is the wrong thing that you could have done with Jesus. And because worship can be seen as a controversial subject, especially when you don't understand who you're worshiping or what worship is about. This woman had jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. And she thought to herself, I've gotten away with this, with the revelations about my life. And by bringing in this question of worship, she must have thought to herself, I've got it now, I've got it. But what she had done, she had given Jesus the opportunity to reveal more of who she really is. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the things that true worship does, it reveals who you really are. That's what worship does. It reveals who you really are. If you don't want people to know who you are, keep away from worship. Because true worship brings God into the situation. It brings God. When you begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, God moves into your situation. That is why we will see miracles, signs, and wonders. When you can worship God in spirit and in truth, there is no way God will stay where he is, but he will move to where you are, because God loves when his people worship him. That is the secret, saints. Sister Debbie gave a word of prophecy some weeks ago about worship. I'm going to tell you, if you do not know the secret yet, get to know it. Because through your worship, things happen. Things happen through your worship when you can worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Not just spirit, but truth. And when you combine those two together, it's powerful. You see, the Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if you say that we have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth that is written in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. You see, when we worship God, the Bible says, who is light, he shines. What happens is when we begin to worship him, God's light begins to shine on everything around us. I'm going to tell you, when we've been worshiping God this morning in spirit and in truth, his light has been shining. And what happens when the light shines? It exposes things. It exposes truth. It exposes lies. So in the midst of true worship, there is a revelation. In the midst of true worship, there is words of knowledge, prophecies, salvation, and even miracles. I've got to tell you that I've seen it. A word hasn't been spoken, but when people have worshipped God in spirit and in truth, I've seen healings. I've seen blind eyes open as people have been worshipping God in spirit and in truth. I've got to tell you something. When you begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, if you can get into worship, it will transform your life. You see, I believe that's why so many people will stay away from worship services. I'm going to be a little bit controversial here. Because we're dealing with the Spirit of God, and God, who is light, what he does, he exposes everything. And many people will not attend church at all. Or they will not attend church until the praise and the worship is over. That's what happens. Because when God comes in light, everything is exposed. Maybe this woman that we just read about, maybe she was in the church because she knew where worship took place. Maybe she had walked past Mount Gerizim day after day, so she knew where worship took place. Maybe she was in the church even though she had five husbands and living with another man in sin. Do you know that this happens in church? Maybe she knew about worship but did not know how to worship. That could have been the reason why Jesus looked ahead, leaving Galilee, to find her because she was not in the place to worship, but she had a heart for God. Just maybe. Maybe you are in this church today and you've been here for years, but you have never truly worshiped God. Maybe, just maybe, you want to worship God, but you cannot truly worship God because you're living in sin. Maybe, just maybe, you have a heart for God and you just don't know how to worship, because all along you thought it was about raising your hands and stamping your feet and shouting the loudest hallelujah, rather than it being about renting your heart. Maybe, just maybe, that Jesus looked and he saw you, just maybe, and he said to himself, today I must go through Ilford. Just maybe, because there's a woman, there's a man there that I'm going to meet and have a conversation with. Her questions were centered around the proper location of worship. but I think that she missed it. She said the Jews only worship in the temple. Samaritans only worship on Mount Gerizim. However, the worship of God cannot be confined to a single geographical location or even directed by any Old Testament laws. You know, we're looking at going back into Connaught Road. And I hear everybody saying, yeah, there's something about this place. There is an anointing in this place. I've heard people say, you know, God must be here. And I wonder to myself, is God not in the academy? He does not dwell in buildings made with hands, I'm going to tell you. But God dwells in the hearts of men. Sometimes you need to just stir yourself up. Never mind where you are. Never mind where you go. Because what I know is my God is eternal. He's everlasting. He's omnipresent. So he can be anywhere that you go. Because God lives inside of you. You can be a man, Jerusalem, or you can be in Jerusalem, or you can be in Ilford. And I've got to tell you that God is right there. Amen. Thank God for Connaught Road. But let me tell you, saints, God is right here. And he ought to be worshipped. He's in the hearts of men and women. That's where he dwells. You see, because with the coming of Jesus Christ, the separation between Jews and Gentiles was no longer relevant. Nor was the centrality of temple worship. But with the coming of Jesus, and I thank God that Jesus came, all of us now gain equal access to God through Jesus Christ. I can just step into the presence of God. I don't need to go through a priest anymore. I can just step in because I have access to God. So now, true worship becomes a matter of the heart. It is an issue of the spirit. Amen. Worship is not an external exercise. It is directed by truth rather than ceremony. Thank God for the expressions of worship that we have. We can clap our hands, thank God, because the Bible encourages us to do that. We can roll on the floor, shout hallelujah in our loudest voice, kneel, we can prostrate, which is all good. But if our hearts are not moved, all you're doing is having a workout session. You might as well go to the gym. You can join me Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays in Edmonton. She said to Jesus, she said to him, Our fathers worship on this mountain. And the Jews worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Jesus said this to her. God at this moment, even at this moment, is looking out for true worshippers. People who will worship him in not only in spirit, but in truth. In other words, what Jesus was saying to her was this, that if you stay on this mountain, Jerusalem. And if we as Jews dwell in Jerusalem, both of us will miss it. Because the power of God is not based in Jerusalem, nor is it based upon this mountain. Because God is spirit. God is omnipresent. What Jesus was trying to say to her was the spirit of God is everywhere. You can be anywhere and worship God in spirit and in truth. All over the world, the spirit of God is moving. Just like the prophet said it would be. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Isaiah 66 and verse 1. This is what the Lord says. "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Could you build me such a resting place?" God does not dwell, as I said before, in buildings made with hands, nor does he reside on mountains. No! I'm still trying to figure out why people have to go up to a mountain to meet God. Staying up there for days. I come to tell somebody that God dwells in the hearts of men and women. Ephesians 3:17. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Worship him in spirit and in truth are both necessary for satisfying and honoring God. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. There is no other way that we can worship God other than in spirit and in truth. Now, true worship is from the inside out, and it has two equally important parts, spirit and truth. If you're just worshiping in your spirit, you're going to miss it. And if you're just worshiping in truth, you're going to miss it. Worshiping in the spirit has nothing to do with your physical posture. Unless there is real passion for God, there is no worship in spirit. And when you love him, you're passionate about him, you worship him with all your might, what it leads to is truth. And that is unless we know that there is no worship in truth. Jesus said to the woman in verse 22, he says, "You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we know." Spirit without truth leads to a shallow, over-emotional experience that could be compared to a high. Has anybody ever been there before? As soon as the emotion is over, then the fervor cools down, and so does the worship. Truth without spirit can result in a dry, passionless encounter that can easily lead to a form of joyless legalism. The best combination of both aspects of worship result in a joyous appreciation of God that is informed by his word. The more we know God, is the more we appreciate him. The more we appreciate him, the deeper our worship. The deeper our worship, the more God is glorified. Without the Holy Spirit residing in us, we cannot respond to God in worship because we do not know him. That is a fact, saints. You cannot respond to God in worship unless you know him. You've got to know who you're worshiping. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11. The Holy Spirit Spirit within us is the one who energizes worship, because he is, in essence, glorifying himself. And all true worship glorifies God. Are there any true worshipers in the house? Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I believe, God, that you have spoken to us by the power of your Spirit, God. Even today, Lord, you are seeking out, you're looking for true worshipers. People who will not just worship you in spirit, but worship you in truth. You're looking for them. You're seeking them out. God, we want to worship you with everything that we have. With our might, with our minds, with our strength. We want to give you everything, God, that we have. Therefore, I urge you, Paul says, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. Somebody just begin to worship God now. Just begin to worship Him. See, God is just moving in His place, and He's seeking out those who can worship Him in spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, the hands that are raised right now, Lord, I ask you, God, to pour out your spirit. Open their eyes, Father, so that they will see the truth, so that they will see you, so that they can worship you. Father, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that your spirit will be poured out upon the church, oh God, so that we will understand to worship, that we will have a revelation of you again, God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. I wonder if there's anybody that wants to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been going to church, but you don't truly know him, and you would like to know him.